It's back again. We thought it was dead, but it's back. It always comes back.
Welcome to another episode of this Halloween Blue. Don't worry, they're not all gonna be from the car. If you're worried, I don't know if anyone gives a shit about that, but me. But if someone does give a shit about that and is not me, let me reassure you by saying what I just said. But there is a need to get this one out soon. And therefore, to record it soon. Because announcing the inaugural meeting of the Peter Dirk Book Club is happening on Wednesday, October 14th or 16th. Whichever one is the Wednesday. I think it might be the 16th. I don't know. This is why it's handy to not do this in the car. You got to think it out when you're doing it in the car, because if you just go for it, then you'll be talking. You know, I look through my list of stuff and I'm like, well, I don't think I can play the sound of an Aztec death whistle and then hear it and then talk about it. I was like, I guess I could throw it in later, but that would be crazy and probably wouldn't work and would just seem stupid and seems like a stupid way to do it. Just stupid, Peter, stupid. The Peter Dirk Book Club will be meeting on Wednesday, October. And I wanted to bring it up for a couple reasons. Number one, you can participate without actually showing up, which is, you know, one of the hallmarks of this book club. This book club's going to have a few hallmarks. One is the books are going to be atypical book club books. We're not going to read Of Mice and Men, or Antigone, a.k.a. Antigone. I always thought Antigone would be a hilarious name for something you wanted to use to, like, attract a rat, like rat bait. And you're like, well, gone makes them go away, and Antigone makes them show up. And then you could call it Antigone, and everyone would be like, what? And pretend you didn't even know that was anti-gone and be like, oh, that kind of worked out. I just named it after this thing I enjoyed a lot. I know it seems a little odd that somebody who's really interested in, pest control is doing this. Pest control is a really funny term for killing mice and stuff. It's like pest control definitely was an early adopter of, let's change the name to not be like guy who comes with crazy chemicals, who probably has more chemicals in his truck than he has teeth in his head, and almost certainly is going to die. If he doesn't die when he's in his 50s, then he's just like genetically predisposed to live a long time, because that's like basically living inside of a... He's driving around in a van full of chemical, and he's fine. I always thought when I was, you know, considering the van life, like, could I live in a van for a while? Would that save me some money and time and whatever? I always thought maybe I would get some, like, vehicle wrap or stickers or something that made it look like that vehicle was a pest control vehicle. Because then I feel like people wouldn't want to go close to it. And they wouldn't want to rob your car. Because I was like, well, okay, if you make it look like a service vehicle of some kind, then you could probably just park in a neighborhood for a night and people wouldn't think anything of it. But then I was like, well, if you make it look like a Comcast vehicle or something, I would think people probably would be inclined to just break into it and steal shit, right? Because there's probably some tools or something in there. But I feel like if you were a pest control guy, van, that doesn't seem so appealing to me. That doesn't seem such a hot target. I think I would be like, I mean, what am I going to get? A little hose attached to a plastic tiny barrel keg thing? That doesn't seem worth it. I don't know if I know enough. I know enough to go into a Comcast truck and pull out some tools that are probably at least of some minor value at the pawn shop. But how am I going to move these chemical? I don't think that's going to happen. But I could be totally wrong. I'm just looking for like a business, or, you know, maybe a dog wash business, mobile dog bath business, because it's like, there's probably nothing in there that's really worth going after, right? Or maybe Dirk Portable Urinals is the answer. Because if it's like a Dirk Portable Urinals truck, delivery truck, it's like, well, what do I want in there? A fucking urinal? I don't think I'm going to steal that. Thanks, but no thanks. Anywho, pest control. Valid thing, because the first book we're reading is called The Nest by some guy. It's got a big cockroach on the front, and it's about giant cockroaches. There's another book called The Nest that I think is some kind of literary fiction thing that's fairly recent, so that's a little unfortunate. But at the same time, maybe it gives the Peter Dirk Book Club some street cred, because it's like, oh, we read The Nest! And people will be like, oh, that book that's kind of like the cover reminds me of something like The Help or Where the Crawdads Sing or whatever. And I'd be like, totally. Crawdads are bugs, right? That's the same shit. So one of the hallmarks is the book selection. I'm hoping to make it, you know, not typical. Another hallmark is we'll be meeting at places that have alcohol, which was what I was doing with my Pints and Pages book club through work. And that was cool. And legitimately, I have to say, because, you know, of course when you see Pete's doing the Pints and Pages book club, you're like, well, that's awfully convenient, isn't it? That you found a way to go meet people at a bar for work and whatever. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, it's not... This is like a misconception about like library stuff, programs, and book clubs especially, which is like, I think people see a librarian doing a book club and they're like, oh, well, aren't you just getting paid to do what you would do anyway? And I'm like, I mean, sort of, but not really. Because to be honest, if I wasn't getting paid, I probably wouldn't meet up with a bunch of strangers at a bar to talk about a book. And I probably wouldn't be picking the same books that I've been picking. And also, I think that something that's sort of weird about this stuff is, it's like, oh, well, you just did that conveniently for you. But I felt like, well, if I'm someone who likes books and beers, I bet there's a lot of other people who like books and beers. And furthermore, why are we so fucking surprised that, people aren't super comfortable coming into, like, the library for a book club? That's fucking school. What am I, college? That's school. That's, like, homework. You know, you feel guilty for not reading the book at the library book club because you're like, oh, that librarian has a master's degree in making people read stupid shit they don't care about. Or, like, if I read the book and I didn't like it, oh my god, I'm going to feel so weird going into book club with the librarian. What's a librarian going to say if I didn't like Of Mice and Men? Right? So I felt like meeting at the bar made it a much more chilled out environment and attracted some people to it that might not typically be attracted to a book club. And, like, I'm going to just be honest, 90% of book club attendees at a library, and probably in the world, are ladies who are, like, in their 40s to infinity and beyond. That just seems to be how it works. Are there guys there sometimes? Sure. Are they almost always the spouse of one of the ladies who's there? Yes. Also, yes. So I'd like to see a little bit of a change there. I'd like to see a little bit of a update. But so that's one of the hallmarks, too, is like not meeting at somewhere like a library. I mean, we're not going to meet at my house because what the fuck? Like, not an idiot. And I don't want a bunch of people coming over to my house and then overstaying their welcome. It's like, oh, let's go out to a bar. Let's go out to a bar on a Wednesday night. And we can chat about a book. A third hallmark, are we up to three? Is I don't really care if you've read the book or not. I'm not real into the, like, okay, so everybody read the book, right? Let's have a very serious discussion about the book. I mean, I'm hopeful that people will have read some of the book or at least have a vague experience of the book. But if they haven't, that's not like, don't come. It's like, eh, fuck it. It happens to everybody. You get busy, you're doing whatever, and so you don't come to book club. It's kind of like, I'm trying to make it more like, you know, if you're signed up for a fitness class, you're in a Pilates class, and sometimes it's the days you don't really feel like you should go that are the best workout days. It's the days you're like, I don't know if I'm feeling this, I don't feel very motivated, and then you get there and you're like, huh, I actually feel pretty good right now. It's like that commercial for Dunkin' Donuts where the guy's like roofing and he's drinking some kind of Dunkin' Donuts garbage and he's like, I feel pretty good. He doesn't feel hot, see, because he's drinking like an iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. See, that's clever. a commercial that probably no one remembers and is stupid, but it has a basic premise. But the analogy is like, the analogy that I was making based on the commercial is worse than the actual first thing I was saying. It makes less sense. So, I'm not real concerned about if you've read the entire book. Now, here's a frustrating thing that I will share is sometimes people would show up to the book club having read about half the book, and they didn't want to hear, like, spoilers. And that's difficult, right? It's difficult to discuss a book while avoiding things that haven't happened for this one person yet. Or people will show up and they're all kind of in different spots. So it's like, what do you do? How do you talk about this book without spoilers? Like, how do you make a spoiler-free book discussion? Because some dodo didn't do their homework. It's a tough one. But, you know, I think that the real key here is, number one, since I'm picking stupid books, I don't really think they're spoilable. I feel like it's sort of like, can you really spoil a Neil Breen film? No. Because even if I told you every sort of plot point, number one, I think when you went and saw it, you'd be like, boy, that's a different interpretation than I had. Because there's really no such thing as a, well, you can watch a Neil Breen film without interpreting it. As Poonmaster Flex and I discussed in our discussion of Twisted Pair, which is, the Poonmaster Flex technique is basically like, just pretend you're on mushrooms and don't try to control the experience. Just let it happen. when you go see a Neil Breen movie, it's happening to you. And any attempt to try and cram it into a narrative is just going to make you miserable. So don't even try. But then also, even if you did sort of like try to do the narrative thing, I would think most people would go and be like, okay, but what you told me, you forgot about these 100 things. And I'd have to be like, I did forget about those 100 things. Because there's 850 crazy fucking things that happened in this movie, and I only remembered 700 of them. Because you'll be talking about a movie like that, like Twisted Pair, and then someone will be like, what about the rubber rats that he had sitting next to the guy who was supposed to be a homeless guy? And you're like, oh my god, I forgot about that. And you could talk about that for days, because you could be like, does Neil Breen know that those are like rubber rats and he doesn't give a shit? Does he think it's funny? Does he think that viewers will be like, those are real rats who are this homeless guy's friends? Like, what does he think? I don't know. I legitimately don't know what he's thinking. Or what he thinks. I don't know if he even has the ability to consider what an audience thinks of. Can he go in the mind of an audience member? Like, can he separate himself? Has he ever seen a movie? Might be the question I'm sort of asking here. I'm not sure that he's, like, gone to the theater and watched Terminator and just sort of been an audience member and understood, like, oh, okay, like, to an extent. When I was working with Tom on writing, he was like, you have to think of your reader as this person that you're sort of taking in the palm of your hand and you're carrying them around and showing them the events, right? And he's like, but you can't forget that you have the reader there, because when you forget you have the reader there, you're going to do something that then they don't understand, or they're going to struggle to understand, which no reader wants to spend their life struggling to understand where people are in a room or, like, what's happening and that kind of thing. And that's, like, the anti-Neil Breen idea, where it's like, I don't know, they'll fucking figure it out. Which I feel like, no, they won't. I don't think they will. Speaking from experience, Neil, they will not. They being me, I feel very confident in saying they will not figure it out. So anyway, books like The Nest, I don't think are really spoilable, because you can kind of tell people what happens, and it's pretty stupid. And it's not like a tightly woven plot where one thing depends on the other. You know, one action is based on the result of the previous action, and it just kind of goes like in a domino effect or real life-ish. It's not like that. It's more just like, you could spoil a Friday the 13th movie with certain revelations and stuff, but if you were like, well, then Kevin Bacon gets stabbed through the neck with an arrow, it would be like, well, all right. But seeing it is probably where the horror is, right? Or even maybe knowing it's coming, I don't know. So those are the big hallmarks, I would say. I got some stickers made, and do they look like penises with balls? Yes, they do. Did I try and make it seem like that was an accident? To a minor extent. That is how they turned out. But I don't know if I'd say it was an accident. I wanted to have stickers sort of like Oprah's book club. This is another thing is like, I was like, who are the celebrity book clubs that are out there? And it's like Reese Witherspoon, Oprah, Hermione from Harry Potter lady. And I wonder if she hates that's going to be what she's known for forever. I mean, maybe she won't. Like, maybe someday in the future she'll do something bigger than that. But boy, does that seem doubtful. It's got to be tough when you do a huge, huge thing when you're very young. Especially something like acting, right? Because it's... What happens to you at that point? I mean, then you basically... You could play the same character over and over. I think you gotta do... The only real options to do what Harry Potter did, right? That guy? Daniel Radcliffe? where he was like in Equus, so he was nude on stage, on a, you know, theater stage, and then he did like Swiss Army Man, which was crazy, and Horns, and he's made some weird shit. And so I think you might have to do that. Like, I'm basically looking for any movie that is nothing like what I've done, or like, sometimes I think that's the way to go. Like, people talk about The Rock, right? Like, why is The Rock so happy and stuff? And I'm like, well, look at the movies he makes. Mostly they're kind of shitty, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the shit out of Rampage to the extent that probably someone can enjoy Rampage. I enjoyed it. It even gave a shout-out to Greeley, Colorado, which was completely unnecessary and completely inaccurate, but it was there. It happened. But, you know, Rampage is not, like, a great movie. It's not like a film. But sometimes I think that's the niche where you want to be. Because it's got to be a lot more fucking fun to make Rampage and San Andreas and shit like that, where you're like, I flew around in a helicopter. I was, like, talking to a gorilla. I was doing, you know, crazy shit. And then, I imagine The Rock as an old man. And he's got his trophy room or something. So he's walking through and he's like, Grandpa, what did you do when you were... And he's like, well, here's pictures of me being a pro wrestler. And you're like, all right, that seems fun. That's a crazy thing for your grandpa to have been. And then he's like, here's me in Doom. Uh-oh. Something bad's happening up ahead. Here's me in the motion picture Doom, which was based on a video game. Where you shot demons from hell that somehow ended up on Mars. Mars was turning into hell. Or maybe Mars was hell the whole time. I'm not totally sure. I got offered it. Carl Urban was in it. So I was like, who am I as The Rock to say good enough for Carl Urban's not good enough for me? I mean, that doesn't seem right. Here's me in a movie where I hung out with a gorilla that turned enormous and rageful, and we fought a giant alligator or crocodile together. I don't remember which. Not because I don't know the difference between an alligator and a crocodile, but because I don't remember which one it was supposed to be in this movie. And frankly, I'm not sure that the people who made the movie... we're totally sure either. So there you go. And that's kind of what my life was like. Here's me in a movie with Michael Caine riding a giant bee. And Luis Guzman throwing berries off my chest. Oh, and there's like a million videos of me working out. There's so many videos of me working out that not only do people watch videos of me working out, but millions of people watch a video of my cheat day, where I eat, like, a bunch of fucking pancakes and drink tequila. People are interested in just seeing, like, when The Rock is not being The Rock, what is he doing? They're so interested in me that they're interested in me, and they're interested in me when I'm not me. It's just all around. It's all happening. So there you go. I am The Rock. I'm your grandpa. Good talk. Good talk, grandkid. Got way off track here. So, The Nest. So here's how you can participate, even if you don't show up. I encourage you to show up. We're going to be at the lovely Key Largo Lounge in Greeley, Colorado. I know that listener/sometimes guest Matt has always kind of wanted to check that out. I don't know if you ever got there, but if you haven't, this is an opportunity to go there, and there would be at least like one friendly face there. It's next to a Kinko's and a strip mall, and it looks gigantic. It's like a bar I've always been curious about in town, because I don't know if it's like there's some bars like there's a bar that's on 10th Street and probably 28th Avenue. This is like for real Greeley people, and it's like on the side of a building, and it's got this like weird purplish awning. And I've always been sort of curious about that, but it looks like it's probably just a real shithole towny bar. Right? Where it's like, well, I don't think I'm going to be shocked and amazed when I go in there. I think I kind of get what's going on in there. So, fuck that place. But the Key Largo Lounge, I don't think I've ever seen anyone go in and out. And it looks so gigantic as to defy all logic. Because you're like, well, how big is it? Because it's very tall. So you're like, does this have like a 100-foot ceiling inside of here? Is this like, did this used to be a gymnastics center? What is going on? And I don't know, maybe there's pool tables in there. Who the fuck knows? But that's where we'll meet. 7 p.m. on Wednesday, October 15th. I'm going to say 16th, but if it's not the 16th, I'm just going to start saying 16th for the remainder of this episode so that I'm not constantly debating that, because that's not that interesting. But just know that what I mean is whichever one is the October 10th, that's what I mean when I say October 16th. I'm just going to use October 16th as shorthand for you know what I'm talking about. So you can participate without coming. I don't encourage that, but I understand that some of you live in, like, not Greeley. And so it's probably not a reasonable thing to come out for a book club. And frankly, you'd be disappointed. I mean, the stickers aren't that big. The bookmarks are pretty cool, too. Did the bookmarks end up looking like penises? No. If I said they ended up looking like penises, I think that would imply that it just sort of happened. It was 100% on purpose. There was no accident in the bookmarks looking like giant penises. Well, they're probably not giant. I shouldn't say giant, because if I show up and I have these bookmarks and they're like 3 inches long and I'm like, look at this huge schlong, I feel like people will wonder, gee, what does he think is a huge schlong? I don't know. I wonder what the official inchage is, where you can safely say, that is a pretty large penis. That is pretty large. I feel like certainly 8 and above is in the realm of ridiculous. But I don't know. What do I know? I guess maybe there should be a volume test as well for circumference. That matters. Anyway. Stickers. Bookmarks. I looked at all these celebrities and I was like, I want a sticker like Oprah. So I was like, what does Oprah have that I don't? Tallied up the many things and then was like, well, regardless, I'm doing it anyway. But you can participate by, you know, sending me a tweet or an email or whatever. And bringing up a topic of discussion / question about the nest that is interesting, relevant, or would add to the conversation at the book club. If you participate this way, I will send you a bookmark and a sticker. So you can stick it on your books with pride and be like, look at me, I'm in a book club. Is it a terrible book club? Totally. But what book club are you in? Does your book club even have a name? Like, don't most book clubs, aren't they just like, I go to my book club? And it's like, what's your book club? I don't know, just a bunch of ladies who meet up. By the way, I don't know if I'm revealing a secret to anyone here, but gentlemen, if your spouse or girlfriend or whoever is in a book club, every time a guy came to book club and he was like, so wait a minute, you guys talk about the book for like 10 or 15 minutes and then you just kind of drink the whole time? And I was like, yes. And the guy would be like, is this what book clubs are like? And I was like, yes. And then it was like, oh, I did not know that that's what book clubs were about. I'm all about this now. Like, how come nobody told me that this is what a book club is? And I'd have to admit, I don't know. I don't know that your spouse was keeping it a secret from you. But also, I mean, didn't you notice when she came home smelling like a fucking brewery every time? And you're like, that's kind of interesting. It's like, why are you getting loaded at book club? Did you have to, like, pick up your wife passed out in a driveway somewhere from book club? How many times did you do that before you're like, wait a second, how come this is happening? It's like whoever runs the book club just needs to get a full-length bench outside their house next to the driveway. And it's like, all right, when book club's over, everyone just goes and sits on the bench and waits for someone to come pick them up because they cannot drive home. That is what a book club is. P.S. An excuse to drink. Which is, as an adult, I gotta say, 60 to 70% of activities, it seems like. I mean, golf. Golf for me is, it's not like I need an excuse to drink, but it is a handy reason to be drunk at 8:30 a.m. Because the thing is, if you get up at 5:30 and you're dressed and you're like walking around and engaging in sport, it's been a few hours. It's sort of like, well, if I got up at noon on a Saturday and it was 3 o'clock, I don't think I'd be like, geez, it's a little early to have a beer, even though it totally is in context. Everything. That's basically what life is like, what other excuses can we make to drink? Or where can we incorporate alcohol into this activity? Because that's always the thing, right? Like, looking at mini golf, I'm like, which mini golfs allow you to drink? How come it took everyone so long to figure this out? Like, one just opened in Fort Collins and another one just opened in Denver. And I'm like, how come it took people so long to figure out this idea of, like, what if people could play mini golf and drink booze? And I'm like, yeah, that seems like a very natural combination. We went to a BYOB mini golf in Austin, Texas, and I was like, yeah, well, what is the problem with this? This seems like you can drink while you're playing regular golf, and while you're playing regular golf, you're hitting this ball hard as fuck. If it hits someone in the head, they could die. For real. You're driving a car around. There's, like, sand. There's, you know, a huge swath of grass that has been meticulously maintained by an entire crew of people. And all throughout this, they're like, well, yeah, you can be 100% loaded. Like, basically, it doesn't even matter if there's a team that's playing behind you and they can see that you're stumbling around, what are they going to do? They're not going to fucking call the cops. I'll tell you that right now. They're just like, it's golf. Such is golf. And you're like, yeah, such is golf. C'est la vie. Such is golf. That's how that goes, right? So book club's an excuse to drink. So you can put in a comment. I'll give you a little preview of The Nest, just in case you're curious. The Nest is available on Amazon because it was reprinted as part of Grady Hendrix's Paperbacks from Hell series. So basically it's like, I think mostly 70s and 80s horror that they've reprinted and so on. It's about giant cockroaches that terrorize an island. So it's kind of like a New England fishing village type of island. And some shit happens to make giant cockroaches that are not only giant, but develop a taste for human flesh. Or, you know, animal flesh, or flesh, basically. They're not satisfied. Tellingly, or interestingly, I don't recall any parts of the book where there are many scenes where cockroaches are attacking people for the purpose of eating them. And, you know, it's talking about their immense hunger or whatever. I don't actually remember any single part of this book where the cockroaches are eating, like, food. So why they would eat a person who's alive and there's not one part where they're, like, eating a sandwich that somebody dropped, I'm not sure. I could be wrong. But I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't definitively say that this happens in the thing, which is hilarious. Because it just seems to be a plot hole. But I mean, this is basically, you know, this book is full of plot holes big enough for a goddamn roach to walk through at any given time, right? So there you go. There's a few main characters. They're completely unimportant and don't matter. there, don't get caught up in that. Sometimes I'll be reading a book and I want to chart out who the characters are. I've heard of people doing this. But for the most part, especially with a book like this, I feel like, you know, who is saying this? What is this the science guy or is this the guy who works at the dump? And then I'm like, eh, who cares? If you ask yourself the question, does it matter? And the answer is usually seems to be no. So I'm kind of like, eh, fuck it then. If the answer is no, then let's, I don't know, I'm going to make a chart. I don't need to make a chart. That's fine. Charts are for losers and weirdos. Not cool people like me who can't keep track of things and don't care. Not caring is a key to being cool. So don't get caught up in that, is what I'm saying. Also, you know, some of the people just die anyway, so if you were really busily working on a chart or, like, keeping track of it, I think you'd end up just being like, ah, fuck. Hey, that person didn't really stick around all that long. That was kind of a bust. What else? I would give you the tip of, you know, feel free to read this in different modes. And what I mean by that is, if there are parts that are intriguing to you, like, read those more carefully and slowly. And if there are parts that are boring, just fucking skim them. Like, hey, you have a librarian's permission to just skim the stupid shit that does not matter. And let me tell you, this book has some shit that does not matter. I was a little concerned when I saw the length of it. It's not a super long book, but when I saw the length of it, I was a little concerned. And there's some fat on this book. Not gonna lie. I first was like, yeah, this seems like a long book. I wonder what all's gonna happen in here. And then I was like, boy. Someone could have trimmed some fat from this one, but whatever. I feel like at one time, it was almost like, because books were, you know, a primary source of entertainment or whatever, it almost felt like people were in this thing of, well, if a book's not over a certain number of pages, people are going to feel ripped off or something. And I'm sort of like, no, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to feel ripped off. So that's all a very long way to just say, you know, hey, if you're not feeling a certain portion or whatever, just kind of skim it, speed read it. You'll get what you need out of it. Trying to park in a high school parking lot is a nightmare. I see all these cars roaming, and I'm like, are they all also looking for parking? How do they not do the math on this? Like, here's how many students we have. So we probably need room for, like, that many cars, right? I'm sure that some idiot is like, well, they'll carpool. Right? Some will get dropped off. Some will take the bus. And you're like, no, I don't think they will. At any rate, that's The Nest. That's the Peter Dirk Book Club. I hope you'll enjoy. You'll join in and hear about it. It's, you know, a very Potawini read this month. So that's why I'm bringing it up / my excuse. But, I don't know. I hope that I'll see some participation from some folks. Oh, this son of a bee parked right in the middle of a spot that could easily have been my spot. Could have been a twofer if they'd been a little more thoughtful. If they'd been like, you know, there are others who live in this world. That's like my Ken Kratz, I'm parking a car voice. All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
My goddamn ones. Now you're Steve Frodo. He numbers velocity. Devil off.